episode 3 of the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is Barry. Mike isn't here right now. I may have locked him out. Well, that's what happens when you don't ever tell me when we're recording, because I want to be on the show. So, hold on. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Barry, did you lock the door?
No, I didn't lock the door. If I wouldn't do that.
Well, when I tried to get in, it was I think it was locked.
Oh, sometimes it sticks when it's really hot out.
It sticks when it's hot? Barry, it's 40 degrees out.
Oh, is that in Celsius?
Celsius? Really? It's Fahrenheit, obviously. If it was 40 degrees Celsius, we'd be melting. Come on, Barry. You obviously locked the door.
No? Oh, hey, I gotta go. Alright, okay, guys, welcome to the show. Alright, bye.
Okay. Well, that was Barry. And this is the Monsters and Friends podcast, as I think he established, but I'm not entirely sure. This is episode number 3. Apparently, Barry decided to lock the door because he wanted to take over the show, but I mean, you know, whatever it is, what it is. So we'll just, the show must go on, right? Well, I kind of want to talk about the schedule for a minute and touch on the fact that the show must go on. So life gets crazy sometimes, and maybe one day Barry and I will tell you our tale of this last month, but at the moment, that's really neither here nor there. What it is, though, is that due to my slacktitude, you're going to get some bonus Monsters and Friends over the next couple of weeks. So the episode that is dropping on Thursday, October 25th, which is the episode that you're currently listening to, so it's either today, or it was like a day ago, or maybe some time in the past. And if that's the case, ooh, I'm a ghost. I'm talking to you from the past, Christine. not really. Anyway, on Wednesday, October 31st, which most of us know as Halloween, I will be dropping a very special Halloween short. So, I mean, I know that this whole podcast is kind of a short commuter pod deal that does 15 to 20 minutes, but that one will probably be a little bit shorter, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and then episode 4 will drop on the following Thursday, which is the week after Halloween. So let's hope anyway, fingers crossed, right? And sprinkled in there will be a couple of things, or at least one thing on Instagram that will be as a result of today's show. So it's something really neat and something fun to see, but we'll kind of get to that when we do, okay? Well, but either way, let's dive right into this week's episode, right? So this is episode 3 of the Monsters and Friends podcast. Now, I'm a pretty lucky guy. You know, I'd say throughout the course of my life to this point, I've been on some pretty gnarly adventures. I've moved from coast to coast. I've taught outdoor education out on the Oregon coast and in the mountains of upstate New York. I've lived in the shadow of New York City and have explored most parts of it, and I've definitely seen my fair share of this countryside. My wife and I have moved from coast to coast, and in the process, we've seen some boom towns and some ghost towns. We followed the Oregon Trail and got to see a couple of spots that Lewis and Clark explored. Now, with that being said, we've had a lot of great adventures, but one of the greatest adventures that I've experienced and currently am experiencing is being a dad. As a part of that adventure, you get to once again experience life through the eyes of your kid. So you get to enjoy and love the amazing things that this world has to offer, and you get to rediscover so much. But namely, in this case, we're going to talk about the wildlife of the world. We have a variety of memberships to so many different places here in and around the cabin. And unfortunately, Barry can't come to most of them per, you know, the pet policy and all. But one of the things that we see and we seemingly do everywhere is that we go and we visit local zoos. It seems that when we travel to an area that we have to hit up the different zoos and see what they all have to offer. My daughter loves all animals, but namely, she adores primates. And I'm talking all primates. She can tell you the difference between orangutans, chimpanzees, gorillas, and even Barry. As for myself, my favorite animal to go and see, which I've also had the pleasure of seeing in the wild, are otters. They are just so cuddly and adorable, and they just play and roll around, and they look so cute. Then you factor in that they hold the little clams in their paws, and oh my goodness, I can't even. You know, did I mention how adorable they are? I just love them. Okay, so now imagine, though, that you went to the zoo and you saw that adorable little otter that plays with sticks and holds it in its little hand and stuff and rolls on their backs were to come at you. And not like you stole its toy come at you. I'm talking like come at you and rip you limb from limb. I'm talking that eat you while you scream and shout, all the while wondering if your best friend will actually follow through with deleting your browser history. I know that they swore to do that, so hopefully they'll actually do what they say, right? Well, in this episode, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to go ahead and head across the pond to the beautiful Emerald Isle. We're going to visit Ireland and talk about one of their cryptids that roams the lochs of the gorgeous countryside. This episode, we're going to talk about the Duwercu. Now, I understand that there may be a few different pronunciations of this, but we're going to go ahead and call it the Duwercu. And so the Duwercu is a creature of Irish folklore. However, unlike a lot of cryptids and creatures of lore, the Duwercu has a distinction that not many other creatures can claim. And that distinction is that it's actually killed someone. Well, I mean, it's allegedly killed someone, right? But, you know, we'll get into that part in just a bit here. But for now, let's paint a picture of this not-so-cute and cuddly creature, alright? A Duwercu is essentially what would happen if Scooby-Doo had too many Scooby snacks and went wandering through a wetland looking for love. As a matter of fact, the name Duwercu roughly translates into water hound or hound of the deep. The Duwercu is thought to be a cross between, obviously, a hound and a giant otter, and it generally has a partner in crime somewhere within the deep lochs of Ireland. So they travel in pairs, and you know, they kind of watch each other's backs. The Duwercu is believed to be somewhere around 7 feet long. Depending on who you talk to, it either has kind of a slimy, like scaly reptilian coat, or some folks say it just kind of looks like a giant otter. However, the fact that it is so large has also given it one of its lesser than awesome nicknames. And that nickname is the Irish Crocodile. You know, aside from its length, I'm not really sure where people are coming from with the crocodile nickname. I mean, it's a freaking otter. However, I mean, I guess after a few pints, maybe if you squint, you might see a crocodile. I don't really know. I'm not going to give it a try. Well, not a ton is known about this mythical creature, but what is known is incredibly terrifying. There are a few theories about where the Duwercu came from, but no one really seems to know for sure. However, in this episode, there is a pretty fun theory that is pretty awful, and we're going to dive into that one. The region has another famous cryptid that calls it home, right? We've all heard of the Loch Ness Monster. And Nessie was first spotted in Scotland by a gentleman named St. Columba. He was not only the first to spot Nessie, but he was the first to thwart and pwn the mythical beast using his supernatural powers. He saved a man from being eaten by Nessie and then returned to his home in Ireland, as you would. In a plot to seek revenge for this awful event, Nessie's offspring traveled to Ireland to attempt to defeat the mystical St. Columba for a good old mom. So, to summarize, this theory says that the Duwercu is an immature Loch Ness monster that's come to avenge its familial name. Now, there are a lot of weird noises that are associated with this monster that, you know, scientists kind of attribute to it. Namely, some people have heard it pop up out of the water and say, "My name is Duwercu, you beat my mother, prepare to die," in a strange Spanish accent, but those have been 100% completely unsubstantiated and are most likely made up by a rogue podcast host. Earlier, like 2 minutes ago, I said that this cryptid had a terrible claim to fame. It's one of the few cryptids in the world that's actually credited with killing a person. Now, we know that, you know, sometimes the Bigfoot kind of gets some of the killing, but the Duwerku is actually kind of documented as killing somebody. And again, I just want to say, this is quote-unquote allegedly killed somebody. I don't want any legal repercussions from the Duwerkus out there. That person was a young lady named Grace Connolly, or at least that's the American pronunciation of her name. So there are a few others that she's listed as, but we're going to go ahead and stick with Grace. On or around the end of September of 1722, Grace was going down to Glenod Lake in order to do some laundry, or perhaps she was going to take a bath, but who really knows? It's kind of told both in a couple of stories. But either way, she went down to the lakeside to do something. Her husband, Terrence, we'll call him, realized that she had been gone quite some time, so he decided that he needed to peep out to the lake and see what was happening. As he approached the lake, what he saw terrified him. Lying on the ground near the lake was his wife, Grace. On top of her laid a beast, some say resting after a buffet, and others say still snacking on her carcass. She was bloodied on the ground with this thing on top of her. Safe to say that Terry got a bit freaked out and he got a whole lot pissed off. He snuck off back to his house and he grabbed a knife. He crept up on the monster laying on his lady and stabbed that sucker right through the heart, killing it. As most amazing and mythical creatures would do, instead of just dying, this thing screeched out a loud and awful whistle. From the depths rose its best bud, Horatio. I made that name up. It's pretty cool. When it appeared, Terry bounced out of there lickety-split. He went to his house and got on a horse, and they took off with a friend. They rode and rode and rode and rode and rode and rode with the Duwerku giving chase. At one point, they felt relatively safe, and Terry's horse needed some new shoes. They stopped at a local blacksmith, and that local blacksmith gave old Terry his sword when Terry told him about the Duwerku and their encounter, and it was a good thing that he did. Horatio showed up just a little bit later and went at Terry and his BFF. Well, the two of them got the upper hand in slaying the creature and went on their merry way. The crazy thing, though, is that Grace's tombstone can still be seen at the old cemetery of Conwell near Kinlow County, Leitrim. Now, a carving on the moss-encrusted stone shows a strange beast being stabbed by a dagger. So if you go there, you can actually still see this image. The gravestone has been nearly smoothed over due to weathering over the years, but the gravestone is still there, and you can kind of see the picture. I'll go ahead and post a picture on Instagram and Twitter so that you can see it. There's also a report that a similar tombstone is located in a nearby cemetery that had been broken in or around 1922, and there was an image on that gravestone that depicted something similar. So, in summary, the Duwerku is a BAMF, so if you're around the Lochs of Ireland, watch your arse. It is also believed that the Duwerku is a bit of a traveler. Apparently, the Duwerku likes to summer and winter in different places, and he may have made it all the way over here to North America. Now, there have been some sightings of potential creatures that are similar to the Duwerku all over North America, but namely, they've occurred in the northern sections near the Canadian border. In Lake Erie, there is a monster aptly named Bessie, that some believe actually is a creature that followed Irish immigrants to their new life in North America, and that they are still taking revenge for St. Columba's attack on their matriarch. So they have some issues with holding on to stuff. You know, they don't let go very easily. Bessie reportedly killed 3 people in 1992 in Lake Erie, but all I could find on that were stories that regale of Bessie's exploits to the region. There is some information to suggest that the Duwerku might have some connection to Nessie and other lake monsters, but truth be told, there's not a whole lot there. There isn't a whole lot of evidence to really support that the Duwerku is an actual creature, but like most stories, none of us can really say for sure. Maybe there is a 7-foot otter-like creature that loves nothing more than to devour people. Or Maybe it was a story concocted by a husband that brutalized his wife and used the creature of lore to cover it up. The truth is, we'll never really know. There is no evidence that the Duerku exists, minus a fair bit of anecdotal hullabaloo. But to those that have seen it, they swear that it's there. In 2003, an Irish artist by the name of Sean Corcoran claimed to have spotted the Duerku in Ireland. He said that it was able to swim from one side of the lake to the other with blinding speed. It then jumped out of the lake onto a boulder and let out the most haunting screech. This is only one of a very few sightings that have happened in this millennia, and it's led some to believe that the Duerku may have taken his ball and gone home. Or, better yet, he's actually extinct, so who can really tell these days? Some skeptics believe that the Duerku may have been another example of a new species of large otter that's just been misidentified. Others believe that it could be a brand new species altogether that's managed to somehow shield itself from modern eyes. Or, it's a creature that, as I just said, went extinct and no longer exists. But it's something that we may never know the answer to, but it's darn cuddly once you get past that whole brutal murder part. And speaking of murder, maybe the whole scenario was concocted because of a grisly murder instead of an attack on a person by a legendary cryptid. We'll never really know. But we do know what we hear and what we see, or rather what others have seen. You know how it goes. My mom's cousins, uncles, twice removed, dog walker's friend saw this creature, so it's obviously real. But to be fair, this is how a lot of cryptids get going. Is there's some truth to it, but it kind of spirals. Or, I mean, who knows? Maybe in this case, the Duerku was an actual creature. Either way, the original poem that tells the tale of this creature is pretty fantastic. So I'll go ahead and record that and share it on Instagram and Twitter and let you kind of hear it, because it is pretty great. So it'll be a bit of a bonus and a way to say thanks for bearing with me in my sporadic schedule. Once again, I really want to say thank you so much for downloading and listening to my little slice of heaven here. Without you all, this is just a guy talking to a Sasquatch in a cabin in the woods. I really appreciate you and can't wait to tell you some more stories of the cryptids of the world. And make sure that you pay attention to Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter and send me a DM. I've got some free stuff that I'd be happy to send out to you if you just let me know where to send it. As usual, you can catch us on Twitter at MNFpod, on Instagram at Monsters and Friends, or on Facebook. If you just search for Monsters and Friends, we're the one that pops up. And in summary, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. It helps quite a bit. Thanks so much for visiting, and we'll chat again next time.